If you haven't seen the 1951 Abbott Costello Meet the Invisible Man, well, that's all right. I'm going to sit here and talk about it. So let's get our invisibility serums and everybody ready? Let's start the show.
We're Tom Thompson, Adventure Begins. An exciting spectacle brought to you by NOW and Technicolor Podcast.
Welcome to the heat. Swim on the feet. In a Technicolor, you know and me. Caught up in a flea. In a Technicolor, beam to the heat.
Hey everybody, and this is Jay Lost the Day, or John, you know, and this is Now in Technicolor. And today I'm going to cover an Abbott and Costello film. I've been really looking forward to this. Now, unfortunately, these films are not actually in Technicolor, so this is another grayscale type deal, as previous with like The Thin Man, but a little different. This is actually a film that I highly enjoy. I've always kind of liked Abbott and Costello. I think they're hilarious. Now, if you're not sure who they are, they're basically the Who's on First guys, as Fuzzy put it on the episode I was on with him last. And, you know, I think they're hilarious. This is the way I think. But and as far as I'm concerned, these guys are hilarious or extremely funny. Like I say, I used to watch the old Abbott and Costello TV show, and I've seen a number of films, including the Meets the Monsters series they did, and like Buck Privates and In the Navy and Time of Their Lives and a number of other films. So really, really enjoy these guys. So I guess we're going to go ahead and we're going to just hop into it. The 1951 Abbott and Costello Meet the Invisible Man.
Now, don't give me that invisible stuff again.
Honest. And there were footsteps with no feet. And a grip that was unpacking itself.
All right, boys, let's go.
They're private eyes, they are. And they're tickled to death, as you may be, that their first job is a murder case. Only a man they can't see is driving them to distraction.
I said pull over to the...
A blonde is trying to booby-trap them. And the syndicate is trying to set them up for a quick 1-2.
Buddy, you know I'm no fighter.
Oh, what's the difference?
Look, watch this.
My uncle is worried, too, about the...
About the effect of the drug on my mind? Invisibility gives me a sense of power. For good or for evil.
Neither of you get a chance to tell the cops anything.
Now look, pal, let's talk this thing over.
Let's go.
All right, everybody. So, of course, Abbott and Costello Meet the Invisible Man, starring Bud Abbott and Lou Costello and Arthur Franz, Nancy Guild, and William Frawley. And Gavin Muir as the doctor. But those are pretty much the main names you're really going to need to know for the film, because they're the most reoccurring of characters. Now, the way the film starts off is you get Abbott and Costello, which is Bud's playing Bud Alexander, and Lou Francis. And so that, you know, I'm still going by Bud and Lou. It's pretty funny. They are graduating from a detective agency that is the, you know, American country renowned one, that if you graduate from there, you're guaranteed a job when you actually graduate. Now, it already starts off with some funny stuff where Lou's like, hey, I can't believe I actually graduated. And Bud's like, ah, I slipped the guy $20. Don't say nothing. And then you kind of hop right into from there into them in their detective agency. They're working the third shift, the night shift. And they're wondering if they're going to get any cases when all of a sudden a tall, mysterious figure walks into the door asking if they're detectives. And of course, they're like, we'll take the case. And then a radio announcement comes out asking for a man clearly of the description of the guy that just walked in. And Lou tries to point this out, but of course Bud is just he's not having it. He disagrees. He's not even paying attention. He's just thinking about money. And what they're looking for in the radio announcement is a ex-fighter named Tommy Nelson, who has been accused of killing his fight manager after a fight with Rocky Handlin, which was played by John Daheim. And, you know, he cuts the radio off and all that good mess. And from there, he tells them that they're going to take him over to his girlfriend's house, where her uncle, that is a doctor, is going to help him out. Now, of course, Bud still has no idea that this is Tommy Nelson. They get to the doctor's office, and this is where you get your first introduction to the invisibility serum that he didn't create. He just took over the research of after the original creator of the serum took it and then drove himself incredibly crazy due to the invisibility serum, and it drove him crazy. And the only way to come out of it apparently was he got shot, and that turned him visible again. But you know, you see him inject a guinea pig, and the guinea pig disappears. Like, it pretty much disappears all the way down to its bone structure, and then the bones disappear. And when Tommy is trying to get the doc to give him the serum, he refuses to give him the serum and says, no, it's too dangerous. We can't do this. And Tommy's just not having it. The cops show up at his girlfriend's house, Helen, played by Nancy Guild. At that point, the doc and Helen walk out, and Tommy decides to go ahead as he's headed, saying, oh, I'll head out the back door, decides that he's just going to inject himself with the serum. Now, he gets out there, and you have Bud and Lou out there, and Bud's like, oh, well, I finally realize that this is Tommy Nelson, and he's going to give him up to the cops, and tells Lou to keep him in the room with him. After having told Tommy, you know, oh, no, we got your back. And Lou, standing there talking to Tommy, is shaking his hand when all of a sudden Tommy's hand disappears, and then his head disappears, and the only thing left is his top teeth. Now what I don't understand here really is, why is only his top teeth what's visible when you just watch this hamster go all the way down to its bone structure, and then the rest of it disappear? Well, apparently in a human, it just automatically makes everything disappear up to the teeth, and then the teeth disappear. I don't know how that works. I don't know why that worked like that, but you have that, and Lou just freaks out, and Bud brings the cops in. After that, Lou tries to give an explanation of what happened, and they just think he's crazy. So they took him down to the station to talk to the police shrink. And while the shrink is trying to talk to him, he's just getting nowhere. He's asking him questions, and he keeps getting hilarious answers like, have you ever heard voices? Well, yeah. Okay, well, what call, you know, well, when was this? Well, I forgot to hang up the telephone. Did you ever see your brother disappear? You know, have you ever seen anybody just disappear? He's like, yeah, my brother. And he's like, into thin air? He said, no, down a manhole. So you get into hilarious stuff. And he tries to get him into hypnotherapy. He tries to do hypnotherapy on him, and it goes horribly awry as Lou ends up actually causing the doctor and six other officers to just fall asleep as he tries to explain how he's not getting hypnotized, and then what the doctor was doing or what he was doing that caused the doctor to fall asleep. After that, they get out of there and Bud's, of course, in a bad mood. And Helen shows up to request that they help Tommy and is going to pay them $500 to do the job and help Tommy actually find his way back and all that good mess. And as Bud is trying to pocket the money, he sticks it in Lou's pocket and he gets mad at Lou, saying, oh, well, he obviously had to give you something to help him escape. And he finds the $500 and then he thinks that Lou has $500. So now he's like, oh, well, this is going to be $1,000. He's going to take it from Lou. But that's a pretty funny as Lou just keeps snatching a $100 bill off the top of it from Bud, to the point that eventually Bud just ends up with $400 in his pocket. After that, they drive into the middle of the woods with a suitcase that has clothes in it and some wrap to be able to cover Tommy up and get him out of there, to which Bud has called the police again before they actually left, as he made Lou pack the car. And right after Tommy gets completely dressed again, the police show up and he immediately disrobes again, so that way they can't see him. And now they think, oh, hell, now we're just crazy. From this point, though, it gets pretty fun because Tommy then instructs Bud and Lou that they're going to help him clear his name because he didn't actually do anything. He didn't kill his manager. It was actually a guy named Malone that had actually paid him to take a dive, and he didn't take a dive. He ended up knocking, like I said, Rocky Hanlon out instead of taking the dive, and they killed his manager as repercussions. So he convinces them to help him, and then they end up in the gym where Lou is supposed to be a world-class boxer, and he's standing over there and he's doing the one of the bags, and he looks like he's just doing great while Tommy sits there and hits the bag for him. And then he ends up with the moniker of Louie the Looper, and then Lou ends up getting into an actual altercation with Rocky, where he ends up punching him in the face. Well, he doesn't actually punch him in the face. Tommy punches him in the face. Yeah, this is where it gets a little confusing if you're not paying attention. And instead of Rocky going into the fight that he was already scheduled into, he is now scheduled into a fight with Louie the Looper. And things just kind of get out of hand from this point, because you go from this to Lou going to do the fight. He's trying to get out of it some. They're actually celebrating at a little bit further point at a restaurant, and Tommy is just getting hammered drunk. I mean, hammered drunk. He starts like laughing real loud, and then Bud's having to cover up for him, and Lou comes back after a moment because a nice young lady has been instructed by the then well-to-do gangster to try to convince Lou to take a dive in at whatever round he chooses by kissing Lou for each round until he says, okay, yeah, that's where I'm going to take the dive. And we have some hilarious moments in there where Lou is pouring champagne into this woman's slipper for a pitcher, and he ends up dumping it all over this one guy's head, to which later he ends up bumping into shortly thereafter again, and guy's like, oh, I don't care if you're a buzzsaw, I'm going to punch you. And Tommy ends up punching him dead in the face for Lou. And then right after that, Bud actually does some hilarious stuff. He bumps into another guy, and he's like, oh, don't worry about this, I got this. And Tommy just lets Bud get punched dead in the face, because there's a constant theme through this about him and Bud about double crossing, which is pretty fun. It's pretty fun. And after all this, we get to the fight night with Louie the Looper versus Rocky Hanlon, and it's gonna be a fight for the ages. Both men have high offense, as this announcer says, but low defense. So this should be a very offensive fight, which is pretty fun. And during the actual setup of waiting for the fight, you have Lou getting real scared and Bud sitting there smoking a cigar, and they're waiting for Tommy to show up, of which, you know, he eventually shows up, and Bud and Lou's literally like grabs Bud's cigar and starts blowing smoke all over the place, trying to, he's like, whoa, in smoke or fog, you can see Tommy. And Bud tells him, you need to knock that smoking off. You can make yourself sick and not be able to go into the fight. So he starts puffing it real hard to the point he almost makes himself sick. And Tommy's there. So then we get into the actual fight, and you have this hilarious little bit of it, because every punch Lou throws is incredibly short, but it knocks fucking Rocky for a loop because Tommy's hitting him and it's hurting him. And you got this going on, and eventually you get to a spot where they're in between rounds, and this guy comes up to hear what Rocky says. He's like, man, it's like I'm fighting two guys. I swear I could feel his knuckles coming right through the glove, and he keeps talking to somebody. And so they think Rocky's just kind of going crazy for the moment. And while that's actually happening, you have Tommy get out of the ring and go sit behind the gangster to hear them talk about how, you know, Rocky is hearing shit and all that good mess. And so while that's happening, Lou ends up back in the ring, and while the match is going, and just starts getting his ass pounded for a minute. I mean, he's not going down. He's taking a nice lick, but he's not going down. You know, he's not quite doing very well. And you get to the point where the fight actually goes down. Tommy is back in, and they knock out Rocky. And the gangster is then at that point set to try to set up, like, the same way they killed Tommy's manager. They're going to kill Bud because he's his manager. And they're going to try to set up Lou for the murder like they did Tommy. At which point, when they come back and they're trying to do it, the officer, the fake officer they get, ends up getting arrested, and they end up getting the hell beat out of them to a pretty good extent. Now, while Tommy has beat everybody up, they ended up shooting one of the fog pipes, and one of the fog pipes is going off, so you end up seeing Tommy standing there a little bit as far as, you know, his form. So guy tosses a damn knife into his chest, and I'm going to be honest with you, where that knife hits him, you think it would have killed Tommy, but he survives, and all the gangsters get rounded up and all that good stuff, and, you know, the heroes save the day, and they pick up Tommy to take him to the hospital, and the only actual cure for the invisibility is a blood transfusion. And of course, who has the blood like Tommy's? Who has O negative blood that can be mixed with Tommy's? Lou. So they go through this, and they get Tommy to come back, and he becomes visible again, and they're happy, and he's there with Helen, and Lou ends up getting some of Tommy's blood backed up into his, so he turns completely invisible, and then starts going, oh, I'll be the greatest detective. You know, I can be the greatest detective while invisible. What's the first thing he does? Run into the nurse's locker room and scare the hell out of all the nurses and get Bud hit on and everything, and then while he's sitting there kissing one of the nurses, he starts coming back and looks like a ghost. And to finish out the whole thing, Bud's like, his feet, to finish out the whole thing, Lou's feet come back completely in the wrong direction. As in, like, they were fine before, then as they come back, they're turned around. So his feet are facing behind him, and he ends up trying to go forward and instead runs backwards until he runs through a door and leaves his body shape in the door. And that's pretty much the end of the film there. So, you know, overall, it's really fun. I've left out a number of scenes because I don't really want to destroy everything for the film for everybody right now. I think you should really take the time to check it out. I mean, it's a black and white film, so you kind of have to enjoy black and white films. But even then, like, you should definitely check it out. Like, the Abbott and Costello stuff is great. I'm going to have to give this a full case, if not case of 40s, but definitely a case. Because, and that's a 4 out of 5. Because, I mean, it's just overall super enjoyable. It's very fun, very enjoyable. It's something you can watch not only by yourself, but it's something you can actually watch with your family. Because it's not in any way foul or any of that stuff. Now, there's a bunch of suggestive jokes here and there, but, I mean, they're done in a very tactful, tasteful way. So it's something you can literally sit down with the entire family and be able to watch. So if you haven't actually seen it, you should definitely check it out. All right, everybody. Now, I realize the episode's kind of short. I did run through a lot of it rather quick. I apologize. I've been trying to get this episode done and a little bit quicker, and I haven't actually had much time to do it. Like I say, watching three kids by yourself does not leave you a ton of time to do everything. Next, I'm going to start maybe pre-recording some of these episodes, kind of build up a couple of them so that way I can maybe get a little bit more girth inside of the episode. And instead of having to kind of rush through it as much and possibly give myself a little bit more time, because editing is, wow, it's been a pain in the butt. Like, I have no time whatsoever. So this has definitely been fun. But if you listened to the last episode, you understand a little bit as to why. And yeah. But overall, though, still happy to be back doing this. And hope you're at least somewhat enjoying it. You know, that's all I can do. But hey, everybody, love it, love y'all. Take care, and everybody, stay colorful.
Check out more shows like it at oddfixnetwork.com.